Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
The buzzer went off, but the conversation never stops. This is Overtime with Jake Volnick. We are Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Happy Friday, Cleveland. We are back from 7 to 11. Anthony Lant did a great job over the last 2 days, but we have so much to catch up on. So much to dig into. Obviously, if you're listening to Afternoon Drive, you've heard some of the thoughts that I've had, but more things happening today. Andrew Berry on the station talking about, the quarterbacks, the Myles Garrett deal, everything under the sun. We have the Guardians in action coming up here in just a couple of minutes against the Brewers, or against the Tigers, excuse me. The Brewers are coming up the next series. And we are going to talk a little bit, actually, on the Cavs as well from some of the reporting this week that we haven't gotten to talk about yet. But we got 4 hours to do it. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11. We have both on the board, on the updates, doing work behind the glass. James Bridges with us tonight. James, I think you're the only other person who's done this so far past Mark Koch, because I usually call him the Swiss Army Knife. Now, I don't know if I have to come up with another nickname for you. I don't know.
But you got to come up with something else for him, man. And me and Mark Koch got beat because I think he was taking shots at one of my off the beaten path. Oof. Talk about an old school overtime segment.
Change your mind
segments. Yeah. You got to come up with a different name because there's another Swiss Army Knife in the building. So, he can't just have that one. You got to come up with a different one.
All right. We'll get to plan in a little bit. We'll see what we can cook up around here. I'm not nickname guy. I usually reserve that for Nick Wilson. He just left. He's usually the one who's coming up with those. There's a reason that every once in a while I get a big Weege tag around here still. So, all right, but I do want to start this thing off talking a little bit on the Browns and Andrew Berry's comments today. And there was one, right out of the gate that stuck out to me that I think was more pressing than anything else. And he was interesting today, obviously. If you missed Andrew on the station today, you have all of the leeway. Make sure you go back, take a listen to that when the show's over. Odyssey Rewind feature. I'm sure it's up over on the website as well. But there's this conversation now. Obviously, we've been talking about this here. I've brought this up, I think, dating back to last year about Deshaun getting back onto the field, what he looked like, and the possibility of the Browns actually wanting to put him under another contract. Now, I understand nobody has ever really doubled down on the fact they wanted to see Deshaun on another contract. Nobody has gone down to that, but I have told you, if Deshaun gets a start this year, that is always a potential, because if he plays well enough, you might get buried into a spot where you don't have the opportunity to draft a quarterback, even with two first-round picks. You can't go get the guy you want, and it's either Deshaun or it is another veteran type of option at quarterback. Andrew Berry on the station earlier today, I might not have said those exact words, but I don't know that he was all that far off either.
I think everything's on the table. I think it would be silly to go into a season and say, hey, something absolutely can or cannot happen. And I think particularly at the quarterback position, we've seen it with guys, whether it's Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones or Geno Smith or, you know, even Baker. I think you have to be open-minded and flexible. But I wouldn't rule out anything. We're looking for guys who can perform and who can lead.
So that immediately opens back up to the idea that Andrew Berry would re-sign Deshaun. And this is the part, though, where I feel like I've had to say this several times this week, especially with as much Monken quarterbacks, Andrew Berry, as we've heard. I take it and I hear Andrew, but at the exact same time, what else is he going to say? Like, he gets asked a question about whether or not Deshaun could be under another contract and they could re-sign him. Well, guys, he's missed a quarterback battle. If they would have just sat Deshaun down for the year and they're like, we're trying to get out from under this contract, that guy's not playing. He could be like, yeah, I don't think signing Deshaun any other time is really going to work here. Or if Deshaun's contract ended last year, they would be like, yeah, Deshaun's probably not getting another contract. Like, and I'm sure he would put it in a much nicer way. I'm sure it would be like, well, we consider all options, but that one might be a little unlikely, a little bit more Andrew Berry talk for you. But when the guy's competing for the starting job and has a chance to win it and be your QB1 this year, you're going to come out and be like, doesn't matter what Deshaun does this year, he's not getting another contract. Like, no, of course you're not going to say that. And actually, props to Andrew Berry. Not only should you not say that, but why would you even want to back yourself into a corner the way that Jimmy Haslam seemed to have almost backed himself into a corner with the swing and a miss comments? But why would you ever want to do that as an organization and a general manager? Because here's where it actually gets interesting, is there is about 99% of outcomes where I am anti-re-sign Deshaun Watson. Yes, he has made $230 million. Yes, he has, played for the equivalent of about $2.3 million of those $230 million. And I mean, by production on the field, not by games played. But it clearly hasn't been good. But you're telling me, let's say Kevin Stefanski was the problem, or Deshaun was hurt for a majority of the time he was here, even while he was on the field. And he comes out this year and just appears to look like, again, I don't believe this, but let's just say it happens. He looks like Houston Texans Deshaun Watson. Yeah, of course you're re-signing him to another contract. Because one, that's not $230 million worth, because he's done it for 1 year. It's going to be a much cheaper contract, even if it is somewhere in the 20-plus million dollar range, 30-plus million, like, you're still not paying that much for a quarterback. It's not the $230 million that you were paying him. And I don't think any of us can fool ourselves. You might not like Deshaun Watson, the person, and you have plenty of reasons not to. But if Deshaun goes out there and looks like the same guy who was playing for the Houston Texans back in 2020, I don't think we can kid ourselves in the slightest. You might not be happy he starts this year, but by the time you get to week 8 of him playing like that, I got a feeling there's going to be a lot more Deshaun Watson fans in this city than there would be not. And again, I think the likelihood of this outcome is extremely low. But Andrew Berry's not talking about the likelihood of the outcome. He's not talking about this idea that, Deshaun could play great and we're banking on. No, it's the door's open. If Deshaun wants to go play himself into another contract, I'm not going to sit here on June 12th and tell you it's not possible. Because it absolutely is. Like, this is where the competition with Shador and a quarterback competition in general and giving Deshaun another chance has to be open-minded from everybody that's here. You don't have to believe it's going to happen, but you have to be aware of the possibilities that are in front of you. If Deshaun Watson plays well, I can tell you right now, I would welcome him back with open arms if he played like 2020 Deshaun. If that's the guy I'm getting, yeah, I want that guy quarterbacking my team every day of the week. Because that is an undeniable talent that is a top 10 to 5 quarterback, probably closer to top 5 in the National Football League. You have been dying there for that. That is the difference maker between you being, whatever your record likely will end up this year, and a solidified playoff contender. And with multiple years to come, development, hopefully more decent draft classes at least coming out of Andrew Berry, that is the thing that pushes you into a Super Bowl type of team that quickly. Is having a great quarterback, a top 5 quarterback, immediately makes you a deep playoff run contender. If he's able to do it, it's good enough. So, I see people outraged on social media over this today. People are reacting to it on the station. what's there to be upset about over Andrew? Like, I think he's serious about this. And again, there is a level of seriousness to it that I do still think is unlikely. Like, do I think that if Deshaun goes out there and looks like the 17th best quarterback and plays you into a 8-win season, that Andrew Berry's going to be like, oh, well, we are not in a position to draft a quarterback. Guess we have to go back to Deshaun. No, it's going to be combine my first two, my two first round picks this year. Go look at what I can move in 2028. If I got to move something in 2029, let's have the conversation and let's find a way to go get a quarterback. Worst case scenario, let's go get a different veteran quarterback that might be a reclamation project that can give us a better shot. You're not doubling down on him just to double down on him. But again, like, I think you have to consider the idea that the possibility is out there for Deshaun. Like, this is what happens. And when Deshaun goes back and say, you know, he was internal, the internal conversations he had, he didn't fear that he'd have a chance to start for the Browns again. These are the reasons why. Right there, I'm sure, removed from the situation as a fan and everybody who looked at this as a, you know, I mean, massive scope nationally and everything else. I don't think it's hard for us to rule out the idea that the old Deshaun Watson probably doesn't exist. Like, we are, I mean, fairly confident that 2020 Deshaun is well out the window. That guy's got a new shoulder, a new Achilles twice repaired. You're probably good. Like, I don't even know that I can talk about the same quarterback, like Patrick Mahomes, 6 years from his peak. Probably isn't the same quarterback that Patrick Mahomes was the 6 years before, let alone, I mean, a couple of massive injuries, let alone, I think, what has been, I mean, kind of a frying of his mentals. Because he has not been the same person that he was when he was in Houston. He has not been the same demeanored human. And he went closer to that earlier this week when he spoke to the media. I thought he was in much better of a headspace than he had been previously when he had spoken to the media. But I haven't seen a confident Deshaun Watson. And let's be real about it. From what I've been watching out at minicamp and from some of the videos we got from the OTAs, it still doesn't look like 2020 Deshaun Watson. Okay, I'm still watching him miss, you know, wide receivers in 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s without contact, and miss guys by like 5 yards and throw nasty interceptions. He still doesn't look like that guy. But this is a possibility. This is the resurgence that is out there. And Jason Pinkston, Pink was on earlier today with Afternoon Drive, and I think shared the sentiment that probably, I mean, a lot of Browns fans would have when it comes to a potential second contract for Deshaun.
He better be lights out, and we better go to at least the AFC champion or the AFC division round championship game. That dude's been paid enough money in my eyes. He is good to go for life. I mean, he would have to do some things really, really well and lead this team a very, very far distance for me to be like, okay, you know, maybe it's worth a shot for him to get some extra money. But I think right now, on the money he's paid and been paid, for me personally, it would never even cross my mind to say, okay, we're going to extend this guy and give him some extra money.
And again, I just don't think that's the mindset we have the luxury of having right now. And I don't even know that it necessarily boils down to wins. Like, they certainly play a part of it. Deshaun could go out there and throw for 4,000 yards. And if the Browns are in a position to draft a quarterback next year, I'm not saying you're 100% drafting the quarterback next year, but there's certainly a conversation to be had. Because you absolutely could. If you're in the position to draft one, you're talking about, do I want 31-year-old Deshaun Watson, or do I want, you know, the 22, 23-year-old kid that's coming out of college right now who might be, I mean, better than 1 year of a hope and a wish that we saw out of Deshaun, and a much longer leeway that matches up better with our team. Like, again, it's a conversation. But do I think that if Deshaun leads you to an average season where you miss the playoffs and he threw for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns and you were still in a position, like, let's say whatever he led you to, that only got you to 6 wins. Maybe the defense fell apart. Maybe you had some injuries and the Browns won 6 games. Are you still re-signing Deshaun Watson? I think Andrew Berry, if you watched a guy throw for 4,500 yards here right now, would be like, that's my quarterback. That's the guy I'm rolling with. And again, I don't think you can have a blame for Andrew. Like, this is a legitimate and serious conversation. It is one that is, I mean, far-fetched in the idea of the likelihood that I think it actually happens. But you can't just dismiss comments like this, and I don't think you can take them at their word either. Like, this is where it goes for a little bit of a reading between the lines situation. Right? Don't just take it as, well, the Browns just want Deshaun to play, and they want him to be here, and they want to sign him to a new contract. That's not what Andrew said, but he's also not telling you, like, this isn't the fabrication of, you know, what I started with in this segment, that, well, those are the type of things you have to say. I believe that, but I also believe there's truth in Andrew Berry's word there. Everything is on the table.
Not playing Deshaun for a single snap this year is on the table. Signing Deshaun to a three-plus year contract after this year is over, crazy enough to think about it, but it remains on the table. It can happen. The Browns would have to consider it based on the production that's on the field. Now, again, you bypass a lot of this if you just start Shedeur Sanders and do what I think is organizationally responsible. But that's not up to me. That's going to be up to Todd and the organization. And as far as we know right now, we are in a neck-and-neck quarterback battle, for better or worse, that leaves a chance for Deshaun to start. 216-474-0092. Do you think Andrew Berry is serious about the potential of re-signing Deshaun Watson? Plus, a lot of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. You can also get to us on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, so we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We have the most pressing things said by our station's guest today coming your way at 7:40. You'll hear more from Andrew Berry during that. We're also going to talk a little bit of Cavs in the 8 o'clock hour because, well, the honest discussions are heating up and it might not be in the good way for the Cavs. Get a grip coming your way at 9 o'clock as it usually does. In the 10 o'clock hour, we will bring in James Bridges for Change Your Mind, some Guardians reactions somewhere around that time as well, when they're done hosting the Tigers out at Progressive Field. And, of course, we end the show with Heroes and Villains. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do you think Andrew Berry is serious about the potential to re-sign Deshaun Watson after this year? And as well as your calls coming up here in 5 minutes, Todd Monken, is he actually the key to unlocking Deshaun? The quarterback himself sure seems to think so. Again, it's coming up here in 5 on Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime, asking you at 216-474-0092. Do you think Andrew Berry is serious about re-signing or the potential of re-signing Deshaun Watson to another deal? We're going to do a little bit more, but I do want to quickly go out to social media. I mentioned, as you guys know, Anthony was filling in for the last 2 days, our good friend Anthony Alamp. And Robert got to us on social media and said last night, Anthony, McKenzie, and Jax had a spirited fun fest of sports trivia last night in the eve. It was a good time. One, it was a game that we actually played back on Monday with McKenzie and Jax as well.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
15 words or less. It is a very fun game. It's an enjoyable time. Two, Anthony's not very good at it. Listen, Anthony's great. Okay, I consider Anthony a close friend. I listened back to that segment last night. Oh my gosh. That man is, one, Anthony needs to be medicated for I think what they call ADHD, okay? That man, it's like a squirrel immediately every single time that he tries to focus on something. James, are you familiar with this game, the 15 words or less? Have you seen this?
No, sir.
Okay, so basically all it is that you get a list. We set it up as a list of 7 words that you have, and the person across from you, the producer in this sense, Mackenzie, would have to use 15 words or less to get you to name the 7 words. So you go one word at a time. You throw out a guess until you get all 7. You either win or you lose.
Okay.
They did, and then we play categories under this. So the category was, athletes who make music was the category that they did.
Deborah Sanders.
Was on there. But they were giving, you have to give clues off of this, right? And you can't use a player's name. Typically, like, don't use teams in this. You have to use words, though. Your wrist up will not count. But the first hint he got was Diesel. To immediately, James, you would say?
Shaq.
Yes. It took Anthony 4 words, and he had no clue what Diesel meant. And his mind just, sprayed in every direction.
The big Aristotle.
Like, there's a million different ways in every single one of them.
Shazam.
They all made sense. All of them. You shouldn't even need word number 2. Diesel immediately, like, that should be a 2-second Diesel, Shaq. Like, it's Shaq Diesel. It's DJ Diesel. It's literally his nickname.
I mean, but Anthony is a little younger, though.
We're the same age.
All right, there goes my bill.
There goes your argument. Like, we're the same age. You should know Shaq's nickname, okay? He is obviously the earlier portion of our lives, but, like, well into our lives to the point where you know who Shaq. I mean, not that you only know who he is, but, like, I distinctly remember Shaq playing still in a time where he was really good. Like, I'm not talking about the Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, a little bit of Cavs Shaq. Like, no, I'm talking about, like, I watched Shaq play while he was still, I mean, relatively in his prime. The back end of his prime, but still relatively in his prime. We got to know that. And he's big enough to, like, DJ Diesel itself, his alter ego is big enough to know just Diesel in general.
Shaq is too active outside for you not to even just catch that on accident.
Right. Like, you got to know.
And he's super active on social media. So it's not as if you could just, like, not see it on accident in your For You tab or the recommended videos. I mean, it just should pop up randomly at some point.
You got to find him at some point. He's performed at Guardians games, for crying out loud.
I think that was last summer, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he's done it multiple times, but I'm pretty sure last summer he was out there. I was at one of the games he performed at. It was after the game he performed. I got going at some point by the time that he was getting ready to perform. I listened to, like, a quick little, like, song or two, the mix that he did. And I was like, okay, I'm good with this. I'm going to go home. Like, I don't need to sit out here and wait for Shaq to perform.
You didn't want to jump into the EDM vibe?
No, it's not really my story. It's not my pathway there. Plus, you had to, like, wait in line to get down on the field, and then you'd have to wait to get off the field. So I was, like, watching it all the way from the right field corner, and it was just like, it's cool. I got to see Shaq DJ a little bit. My day's done. Like, I'm all right now. I've gotten enough of this. But needless to say, yes, the game is a lot of fun. I actually enjoyed it a lot when we did it on Monday. Anthony also not great at it. he could be better. We're gonna have to work on him. The brain just goes everywhere, and he does not pick up on the easy clues. It was bad. But that'll be back at some point. I'm sure we'll play it again coming up here in the next week or so. But I did want to get more into this idea of Deshaun and really dive into the Todd Monken side of this. And I think as we sit here and kind of look at Deshaun and coming back, right? One of the main arguments and the one that I hold true for, I always say there's like 2% of me that is interested in seeing Deshaun play this year, right? Like, we know I'm a Shedeur Sanders fan. We know that I prefer to see him play this year. But there is 2% of me, and I might be the only person on the station with this much of an interest, but to see Deshaun play this year, because I think there could be something left. And it rides on this idea that Deshaun and Kevin Stefanski were always a terrible pairing. He was never the quarterback to run that offense. It never made any sense. And I don't think either of them bought into the idea. Either Deshaun trying to buy into the idea he could play in Kevin's offense and go in full go for it. I don't think Kevin ever designed an offense and tried to adapt his offense to actually accommodate Deshaun. obviously now we have a change. It is this idea that Todd Monken then would be, I don't even want to say the savior, but put Deshaun in a comfortable place, put him right back on track. And I personally believe that when we're talking about confidence in quarterback, you could take Tom Brady and put him in a situation where he's not confident. Is Tom Brady going to look the way that Deshaun did the last few years? No. But is he going to look as good as he did, I mean, playing under Bill Belichick for a bunch of years and even, you know, as well as he did in Tampa Bay, which I still think was a system that fit him very well? No, I think he's going to look significantly worse the more uncomfortable that you make him. And I don't think anybody's ever taken Deshaun as, like, the dumbest quarterback on the planet, but you also don't take him as, like, the pure messiah of the game. Like, we talk about the, I mean, high IQ quarterbacking that we get where it's like, Tom Brady never had the arm strength. He never had the physical poise. There's a reason why the guy was a six-round pick. But he clearly had all of the intangibles. I think a lot of Deshaun's success obviously has come off of his ability. He throws one of the most beautiful footballs I've ever seen. It is a tight spiral, and the deep ball always looks great. But this is the idea that drums us back up when Todd Monken gets here, and actually one that Deshaun pointed to himself when he spoke to the media this week.
You know, it's a lot of responsibility on the quarterbacks in the system. And I think that that's what I had in Houston when I was with Bill O'Brien. It was, you know, pretty much that Tom Brady tree, and everything relied on the quarterback operation. So with Monk, he's given a lot of responsibility to us. And, you know, you got to own up to the responsibilities and the situations and what you decide to do on the field. And I think that's something that I'm very comfortable with.
So obviously Deshaun's taking more comfortability playing for Todd Monk. And even if he's not, it's the right thing to come out and say. Like, it's a good spin for you, right? To basically pin this on Kevin is the reason it didn't work. It works. Like, it is the proper route to take if you're Deshaun to be like, yeah, I mean, I'm still here now, but that guy that I was working with before, it wasn't working so well. Like, it's much better in Todd Monken's system, as it should be, by the way. We know Todd Monken's system to not be a system. If you ask him what his system is, he'll tell you it's to score points. That is the offense he designed. So it's going to be designed around the idea that, hey, if Deshaun is the starter, and I'm sure I have very similar system, I'm sure, between Deshaun and Shador. They share, I mean, enough of an overlap in skill set to say that you can run a very similar offense with the two quarterbacks. But it is going to be one that sets them up to be comfortable. It's going to be one that maximizes their skill set. There's a real tough argument that if Deshaun goes out there and looks garbage, that any team would ever want to sign him to a contract for everything that has gone down in his life to, well, that's a coach who is really trying to make the offense work around you, and it still didn't work. If I can't do anything more to build an offense around you, then what's the point here? Like, if that's the quarterback you look like. But ultimately, this is where it boils down to the idea if there is anything left in the tank for Deshaun Watson. Really, like, if there is any bit of that 2020 Deshaun still, I mean, kicking inside of him, Todd's the type of coach that is going to bring it out of him. He's the type of coach that is going to be able to maximize Deshaun. So this is kind of where the pairing actually makes sense. For so much of the route that the Browns have currently taken, I think Todd has obviously changed up the way that practices have gone. He's much harder on the team. He interjects in the middle of a play. He'll blow it dead and tell you exactly what you did wrong, and he'll harp on you. I think that's really good for a young team. Like, Kevin Stefanski's system, I think, works better, one, when you have players that fit the system, and two, when you have a lot of veterans on the team who don't necessarily need to be coached up as much. Like, they need the veteran rest days. They need the time off. They need to go through walkthroughs and can learn the offense a little bit more that way. When you're making dramatic mistakes, the young players need the development. And one of the big knocks that Andrew pointed to was the lack of development in the system. Well, if the guys weren't getting coached up this way, it would make sense. But I think it works so well for that aspect and for a guy like Deshaun, to the point where, I questioned it, I think sometime last week, whether or not it still made sense that Todd Monken was the hire. Like, you go full young team, it might make sense to have young head coach there to kind of bring them along with it. But again, this is the spot where it actually starts to add up a little bit more, where if there is a coach that can get anything out of Deshaun Watson, I'm not saying it's Todd Monken, like, he's the number one option, but it is his style of coaching. It is the exact way that he handles the offense and he handles practices to get the guys in line, get them where they need to be, make sure everything is flowing smoothly for Deshaun, and he doesn't have to work on the fly, and he puts him in a situation to be comfortable. So this is where it gets interesting. And again, where I think if there's not going to be any possibility for Deshaun to be a good quarterback in the NFL, period, you're probably going to find out this year because everything is going to be set up for him. If he can't beat out Shador for the starting job, I think the overwhelming majority of people should probably have the understanding that Deshaun is probably cooked. Like, that is as done gets, where most of us probably sit already. But this is, again, where the 2% of me that is interested does think that maybe there's something left. Maybe there's something additional there. That's where this side of me starts to show, because, I mean, Deshaun's saying it right now. We've had the conversation before Todd was hired, when Todd was hired, that this is the type of coach that Deshaun would be looking for. This is the type of guy that is going to maximize your quarterbacks. And we had that conversation with Shador, but the understanding when we have that conversation with Shador is that it also plays out for Deshaun too. If this is a guy who really is, I don't even want to put quarterback whisper on him because we put that on Kevin Stefanski and that was just a train wreck. But a guy who has obviously gotten the most out of the quarterbacks he's played with, from Jameis, which the interceptions were a problem, but no risky, no biscuit, let's go get it. Stetson Bennett in Georgia, Lamar, especially after Todd walked in, became a much better passer. Like, this is the type of coach that gets it. And I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Do you feel like Todd Monken is the key to figuring out if Deshaun can be re-unlocked? I'm not saying that Deshaun is immediately turning back into a great quarterback, but I think it is the coach that has the potential to do it. And Matthew's in Cleveland. What's going on, Matthew?
Hey, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, ma'am?
All right. I'm all right. I've been listening to this all day on all your shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have the same little percentage of optimism about Deshaun Watson. I don't know anything about Todd Monken.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Todd Monken do anything. I don't know if he's the guy who's going to unlock things like you're talking about. But I do. Hey, do we remember what Deshaun Watson was?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he was a top five quarterback at one point in the league.
He was unbelievable, but at the same time, you said the words franchise responsible. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of torn because I think at the same time, I'd like to see what Shador is. It's just kind of a weird place, and I'll tell you this. We got Concepcion, we got Fannin, we got Boston, we got...
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
God, I hope Junkins comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, comes back, because he was fun to watch last year. That's a good offense.
It's not bad whatsoever, Matthew, and we're up against it, but I appreciate you making the call. Thank you. And listen, like, I think the responsible thing for the franchise is, and I have not wavered on this fact, I will continue. I know this has been a relatively, I mean, as pro Deshaun Watson as anybody could probably be at this point for the last 40-ish minutes. But if you are making the responsible decision for your franchise right now, the responsible decision, the one that makes the most sense, is start Shedeur Sanders. I'm not going to give that up. I believe that to be true. It's a young team. This is a year about figuring out what Shedeur has if you need a quarterback next year. But I understand that's not the Browns' line of thinking. I understand they want to see what they have in Deshaun and are going to consider the opportunity to start him. And it was a bad fit between him and Kevin. Again, there should be, I think for a lot of people, this small inkling that, well, what if, you know, a lot of that did ride on Kevin? It's not 100% on Kevin. There's no way you can pin that on him. But again, if you're not comfortable, if you're not confident, I don't expect you to play all that well. If there's any bounce back left, I think you could find it this year. And it's why, if Deshaun gets named the starter, one, I would hope that it's in a fair quarterback competition to begin with, and he actually beat out Shedeur Sanders. And two, I'm not going to sit here and rip the Browns unless it is apparent, very clear to everybody through watching, you know, training camp and these mandatory mini camps and everything else, that Shedeur was the better quarterback. If I think that Deshaun was close or won the battle, I'm going to understand the decision. Again, 216-474-0092. Could Todd Monken be the key to unlocking Deshaun? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, we're going to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. We do it with the Station Buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We have more conversations surrounding the quarterbacks and what a little bit of progress from year one actually means for Shedeur Sanders. What does that look like? Andrew Berry mentioned it today. We'll also talk about some of the narrative surrounding Shedeur that doesn't, in my eyes, make a whole lot of sense. But that doesn't mean it did for everybody on the station. It makes some sense for some people. So, again, that's coming your way at about 8 o'clock. But right now, let's go ahead and take a listen to some of the most pressing things said by our station's guests today with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off, and we start with Andrew Berry, Browns GM, on this morning with Lima and Daryl. Daryl filling in for Ken today, and he was asked about working with both Todd Monken and Kevin Stefanski.
If you're leading in a public-facing role, right, like you're a head coach, like oftentimes the perception of the individual can be a lot different than how they are behind closed doors. And like, I actually think there are a lot more commonalities than people realize between Todd and Kevin. Both super smart, both have incredible senses of humor, both have really good people skills. Style certainly may be a little bit different, but like, I was telling about Todd, it was after, actually now I remember, it was after yesterday's team, like kind of last team meeting. I said, like, the cool thing about Todd is he's secure and authentically himself. He's incredibly funny. And like, he's like, this may seem weird for people just because like he just had his 60th birthday, but like he's cool. Like he's really cool. And like, I think that's really what allows him to connect with like really pretty much everybody in the building, but particularly the players. Like the players love him because of that. So like he's really fun. I feel like I've been very blessed that I've worked with two head coaches who are smart, they're really good people, and they have incredible senses of humor that make it fun to work with them because you deal with so many tough and hard moments.
This is where he says two coaches. I don't know. I struggle with the good sense of humor for Kevin. And again, I pointed it out. When Kevin's like on the station when he was the coach here and he was in with Ken and Anthony, I actually thought he was funny. Like, he did have a personality. There was a real Kevin Stefanski behind the football coach. Like, every time I've seen Kevin around the building, around the podium, anything else, it's been like anything but. Like, and we talk about, and Andrew there just talked about, you know, Todd being authentically himself. I think that's part of where I struggled with Kevin, too, was that, like, again, I shouldn't feel a massive difference from the guy who jumps on the radio and does an interview and chats with the guys for a few minutes versus the guy who I see standing in front of my football team. And I think there are even times where we'd like to see videos, and we've certainly pointed to some of them, where, you know, Kevin tries to go, like, rah-rah in the locker room, and it's like, well, that's just not you. Like, I'd expect you to go into the locker room and be like, all right, guys, good game. Game ball's going to this guy. You guys get the day off tomorrow. You enjoy it. Go enjoy. Like, that's all I expect because that's Kevin Stefanski. But there'd be times where he was, like, fired up and it just didn't make a ton of sense. I do think there's something there to Andrew talking about Todd's personality, though, too, because from every player we've talked with, it does seem like the players really like him. Not that you're going to openly bash your coach, but I do think there's a visual difference, an audible difference that you can hear versus, hey, this is my coach. I'm not going to disrespect him. I'm going to say nice things about him. And no, I really do like that guy. Like I think it was like a 50-50 split on Kevin. I think there are guys who really enjoyed Kevin's, you know, way of coaching. And I'm sure it's similar to Todd. I'm sure there's guys who would rather have the Kevin type of coaching too. But there were guys who really enjoyed him. Joel Bitonio, I think, really did. I think Shelby Harris really did. But then there were guys like Miles. Like, Miles never openly disrespected Kevin, but I also didn't get the impression that Miles loved Kevin either. Like, I don't think that was his favorite coach in the world, and I don't know that that's the guy he would have picked. So, again, I do think that it means something. Maybe we just haven't heard from the people talking on Todd. Maybe it's just too new and they're still in a honeymoon phase, and some of that aware, especially if you go through a losing season. But I think it does matter that not even you love your coach, but you can connect with your coach, you trust him, you have a good working relationship with him. I do think those are the type of things that actually matter.
I think also one thing to add to that, when you get a new boss and they show a level of transparency, that gets you more buy-in with your new crew. So I think also that's what I can hear. There's just a level of optimism that, hey, this guy seems to be different, and that can't hurt.
No, it definitely can. I think to your point, that does matter. Like, I think anytime, again, you pretty much, for some guys, it's a reset to zero. You don't have that same, like, I'm sure even though, you know, Sed's not hanging out right now, Sed didn't get the most love with Kevin either, didn't get to put him in a great situation. Like, hey, even if I'm stepping in for a few games, as long as I make this team, I'm probably going to be set up in the right way. And I'm sure there's guys elsewhere among the defense that feel a similar way too, that maybe didn't have the opportunity with Jim Schwartz. But yeah, I do think that type of stuff really does play an impact. Lance Risen, Coach Riz, Cleveland.com as well, right here on The Fan. Not only was he shouted out and called intelligent today by Andrew Berry, we really like that, but he was also on with Lima and Daryl this morning and said which quarterback he would start and talked about the gap between the two.
If you're asking me who should start right now, I would say Deshaun Watson. It's about who gives me the best chance to win right now. So if you're asking me right now, Deshaun Watson. But I will say this. You know, everybody's talked about we know what Deshaun Watson's going to do in practice. He can't do it in games. And I've heard that narrative a bunch. And we've heard that, you know, Shador is a gamer but can't do it in practice. Well, I've seen Shador all summer, and I think he's a much better practice player than he was before. And he's closed that gap. And I think there was a gap. If he's healthy, Deshaun Watson is elite. And once again, we're not talking about what he's done in the past. We're talking about what we've seen. I've seen he's got elite arm talent. He can move. He doesn't look like he's been injured, etc. But Shador has closed that gap.
And listen, like, this is the feeling, like, the prevailing thought process really throughout. Not necessarily that Deshaun, if you would stop today, you would start him. I still think that's pretty much 50-50 in the air for a lot of people. But, I mean, the overwhelming thought is that Shador really has closed the gap between the two quarterbacks. He is making this a race. And again, this is a positive thing, I think, for both guys, because competition ultimately does make you better. But I think more so you have to look at it as a positive for Shador. When you close this type of gap, when you are perceived to be, you know, this isn't where you show up and you look at your best, and all of a sudden you're on par with a guy who typically looks really good here this time of the year, again, it says one of two things. Either Shador has really stepped up his game, or Deshaun's game has really taken a hit. And for being honest, it's probably a blurred line somewhere in the middle. The guy hasn't played football in 2 years, basically, year and a half. Like, probably a little bit of rust, probably a little bit of not the exact same person from Deshaun. And I imagine for a full offseason of getting ready, knowing you're going to have a chance to probably compete for the job, Shador probably, you know, actually got to work. Probably did get to work on a lot of the things that he didn't get to work on last offseason, or things that, you know, inhibited him last season while he actually had the opportunity to play. All right, let's go to Jason Pinkston, former Browns lineman on today with Afternoon Drive. And he talked about which quarterback he wants ultimately to win the job.
It's so early, man. And, you know, like, I hate to try to, you know, put on who's leading and who's going to be the guy, because until the pads come on, it's kind of really hard to see. I like Shador. I really do truly hope that he comes out on top on this. Listen, I'm a fan of Watson. We've seen what he can do when healthy, but he's been off the ball for 2 years, man. It's hard to continuously to come back from that and step back in there and think we're going to be firing on all cylinders with him. Has he played well and showed glimpses to us? Absolutely. But I'm happy for Shador. I want to see him. I know he came in at the end of the season. He did some good things. Looks like he's been working on some things. He's thrown beautiful balls, and you know, obviously there's still room to grow and improvement, but I would like to see him come out on top, and we'll see where it goes.
And again, I think that this is where a lot of us should look at it. And I talked about it even last segment, right? The responsible thing for the franchise is to start Shador. And I think that most people are and should be rooting for Shador Sanders to win this job. And it has nothing to do, ultimately, with Deshaun Watson and what he's been for the last 4 years. But it's about where the organization is going. You're either starting a 31-year-old quarterback with one of the youngest teams in the NFL, or you're starting a second-year quarterback that showed you a glimpse, showed you, I mean, sparks last year. You should want to go with the young quarterback. You should want to give him a shot. And so much of the fact-finding mission that we didn't get last year, right, didn't get an answer to, you have the opportunity to actually get the answers to this year. If I'm Andrew Berry, if I'm the Browns, that's what I want answered. I want to know whether or not the guy can actually do it if I give him 17 games to go prove himself. You'll have an answer. And again, I really don't care. Like, I root for Shador. I do, because I think it's the best thing for the Browns. But if the answer is no, like, I'm all right with that. That's okay. But I also do need to be able to know that definitively at the end of this year. I need to know for a fact Shador wasn't the guy. No matter what happened, he got the opportunity to play, and he wasn't ready to lead this team to where they need to go. And you accept that answer once you actually get it presented to you. All right, let's go back to Coach Riz on again this morning, and he talked about how he was maybe a little impressed by some of the young wide receivers out there at camp.
I have been incredibly impressed with Denzel Boston. His catch radius, not only on the vertical balls, where everybody talks about going downfield and you see those plays where he goes up and gets it. I'm talking on slants and curls and digs. That big body coming across the middle, he presents, that's when you know, the term quarterback friendly, that would be an idea of it. He presents such a great target, and he has such a large catch radius. Now, for me, what it does, I think that, you know, everybody talks about they don't have a number one receiver. I think Boston's going to, I think, has a chance to elevate to that. But they have three or four guys now, including Isaiah Bond, that I think now give their true number one on offense, which is Harold Fannin. It's going to force these defenses to be balanced. I think things trend upward, and I think it gives these quarterbacks a chance to be successful.
I really liked the receivers that you end up with this class, and I was more hesitant on Denzel Boston than I was on KC, but I didn't hate the prospect of Denzel Boston. But this is where I've heard so much of this, and including a lot of this stuff on Isaiah Bond. And I want to get excited, but I find myself almost trying to pump the brakes on it, because all I heard throughout this draft class is you have a good depth at wide receiver, but you don't really have any great wide receivers, and all I've heard is good thing coming out of the wide receiver room. It's like, yeah, these two guys, your two rookies, are absolutely fantastic. It's like, are they fantastic because the wide receivers I watched last year were so god-awful bad, or are they actually really good? Like, which one is it? Like, I'll take either. I just want to know the real answer.
You know what? I think this bodes well, because every year there's always, like, one bona fide receiver in the draft. There's another guy that we think is going to be decent. And then there's always one that comes out of nowhere. Puka Nacua. Ladd McConkey had a really good season a couple years ago before he had knick-knack injuries. So I think the fact that you got two consensus top seven receivers out of the draft. One of them, too, should be able to be something above average. And hopefully you, between the two of them, I mean, your chances are on your side.
And listen, it might be Denzel Boston. I might have been in the wrong spot this entire time because that's the guy I'm hearing more about. But when it's both of them you're talking good about, again, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just skeptical. We weren't high on the receivers in the draft class. Now all of a sudden we're really high on the receivers in the room.
Could the Browns really be that lucky?
Doesn't feel like it, but I'm holding out hope. Andrew Berry's had one good draft class. Let's just hope for another one. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, let's talk a little bit more about the quarterbacks, but let's shift our focus. Let's talk about Shador and what progress from year one actually looks like. Again, it's coming your way in 5 minutes in overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.